Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Let's pray. Yeah. Holy Father, bless your word today. May it go forth and may it take effect in the hearts of all of us as you see fit. For we ask it in the name of our Lord. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Now, again, let's look one more time at this verse before we get started in the message, though we'll be referring to it again. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. All right. This morning I want to call to your attention the fact that you should still be aware of, though in this day a lot of folks seem to have trouble forgetting and remembering things. We all celebrated Labor Day this past Monday. I don't know what you did on Labor Day. Very few people labored in some industries. Now, in some, it was different. To some people, Labor Day is just another day. And to some people, it's time and a half. So they are double time. So there are some people that like Labor Day and they don't mind labored on it. But we all celebrated Labor Day last Monday, and I'm not going to go into why we celebrate that and all of that stuff. But I was thinking about us celebrating Labor Day, and I said, well, I think it would be good for us to look at the subject of labor or work from the biblical standpoint, from God's standpoint. He has something to say about it. I think as we go through life, sometimes, and I don't do this all times, there are events, things that happen in our lives and around us that should trigger the thought in our head, let's see what God has to say about this. Let's see if the Lord has something on this. This will help you a lot with Bible study. It'll help you to see how current the Bible is, how up-to-date the Bible is, and it'll fight against the sinful human nature to think of the Bible as kind of separated and not really practical and applicable to everyday life. But it is. So that's what I'm trying to do. One of the purposes this morning, preaching on the subject, labor is of the Lord. Labor is of the Lord. That's why we're talking about it. Now, you know, according to the Bible, you've read it many times, don't know if you ever give it much thought. Sometimes we read things, we don't stop and give it much thought. But according to the Holy Bible, even God works in His own way. God is never idle, the Creator. In fact, He condemns laziness. Now, as we think about that for a moment, God, the root of the universe, whose presence covers the whole universe, the Almighty One, the All-Powerful One, the All-Knowing One, as we come to meet Him in the Bible, introduces Himself as the God who is busy, who's at work. Now, it's true that the Bible said He ceased from His work of creation on the seventh day. But six, He worked. And we meet that in the very beginning as God says, He introduces Himself as it were, and some of the characteristics about Him in the Bible. So we find Him as a working God. Now, our text this morning in Genesis 2:15 takes us back, way back. You know, folks are all the time talking about, well, I'm looking forward, that's good. But a wise person learns to look backwards too. For while we cannot go back into the past and change things, we can learn. There's one thing the past can do for you. It can teach you so that you won't do that again if it's bad, or you will repeat it if you can if it's good. Forgetting about the past is only good whenever it becomes an obstacle to you living in the present and in the future. Then it becomes a ball and chain. Make it work for you. Learn from it. Make the past work for the present. And make the past work for the future. And then you will be getting something good out of that experience or that situation that you've been in. Now, we go back 6,000 years. And when we go back 6,000 years, we go back to the very creation and beginning of the human race. And as I said again, I say again, I want to repeat this. God is at work. He's busy. He's busy. It wasn't like the idols that the people made, that they made and sat them up in a corner somewhere and they just sat there. Couldn't sat them there. If they wanted to move them, they had to move them somewhere. They got. I wanted to sweep the house. They had to move their idols. Anything they want to do, they'd move their idols. They'd bring them food and offer it to them, and they'd have to come back and get the food because it would rot because that thing couldn't eat it. Well, nothing. They couldn't talk to it. If it talked to it, it just talked to a piece of wood that was overlaid with gold or silver or whatever. But our God, the Bible emphasizes, he emphasizes again and again, our God is the living God, a personal God, a God who speaks, a God who thinks, a God of action. A God is engaged in activity. A God whose hand is in the affairs of the universe. A God who is said to sustain the universe. Not only did He create it, but He keeps it going. That's the way God wants us to think of Him, among many other ways that He reminds us in the Bible or shows us in the Bible. Now, this scripture reminds us, our text reminds us, that a human being did not evolve from any lower creature to what he is today, but was created by God from the very beginning, a human being. Such a simple truth. I can remember a small child. I never questioned that. When I got old enough to understand my mother, a Sunday school teacher, and they read the scripture, told me that God created everything, God made everything, I didn't question that. I believe that. But we have a time in our lives as we grow up to where we find that our simple childlike faith is challenged by the devil. And it's not strengthened as it should be, because the devil, you know, if God, the Bible says God created us, the devil's going to lie and say he didn't. And he's going to have some people at work telling you he didn't. Because the Apostle Paul, writing to one of the New Testament churches, said, you don't wrestle against, you're not doing hand-to-hand combat against flesh and blood. Now, he didn't mean that there weren't evil people out there trying to do Paul wrong and work against God. He meant that they were to look behind those evil people and see it's not just flesh and blood fighting them, but there was a principality, a power known as Satan and his host that was working through these people, as the Bible says, using them as instruments against the Christians and against Christ. And we're to remember that. It's not just flesh and blood that we fight against in this world and that we have to wrestle with and do hand-to-hand combat, but it's against powers and darkness. It's against evil spirits that we could not and cannot handle. We might be able to handle a human being under certain situations, but you cannot handle a spirit being if you cannot see them. They are invisible. So we need the help of the Lord. We need to remember that. We need to lean on the Lord. And the same thing is true, of course, when we talk about working for God. Now, so I just wanted to emphasize that because we need to repeat it. You'd think that in church you wouldn't have to repeat it to folks coming to church. Well, sometimes an unbeliever comes in, but more and more today you'll find preachers in the pulpit coming out of seminaries especially. And they'll be standing before their people and they'll be parroting what's called theistic evolution. In other words, God did it by evolution. He did it, but he did it by evolution. So that you can't even trust the preacher in the pulpit anymore and assume that he's going to just say what's right. You have to be careful. Now, you know, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching preachers today stick with the Word. But there are a lot in the pulpit today working very hard to help prepare the way for the Antichrist. But remember, the Bible says the devil's a liar and he's the father of it. He'll just lie. The devil would come today, and if he knew you were going to live to be 100 years old, and it fit his purpose, he worked hard to convince you that you're going to die before the sun goes down. Listen, dear people. Well, you say, well, what benefit would he get out of that? Well, for one, he'd get you to get doubting God and not depending on the Lord. It doesn't honor God when we sit around worrying about dying. We'd trust him to think about it and prepare for it. It's one thing to worry about. It's a sin against God. So you didn't trust God. Also told that we're disobedient. And Jesus said this. He said, you don't want to add anything to your life. There's one stature to your height. One inch. You worrying. It's useless. So don't do it. But the devil, knowing that God said that, delights in having us do that. All right, dear people. What I want us to notice this morning in particular is one thing that God did at the very beginning of the race according to this scripture. You say, well, you've already mentioned that. That's right. He intended to. Repetition is a way of preaching. Repetition is a way of teaching. You ever watched a commercial? My wife and I got so aggravated. We got so aggravated. There's one commercial coming on television about buying this software to clean up your computer. And man, this guy starts off and he says this word and he's talking to this woman and she says it and he says it and they say it and they say it. And they come right down to the end, they say it one more time. About that time, every nerve, as they always say, goes, every nerve I got is to the raw. I was so sick and tired of that till I honestly decided I would never consider buying that thing for my computer. Never. Turn me against it. But I must confess that they weren't doing that, you know. They don't pay that great money for that time and then do what they do on those commercials because they don't think it works. They're trying to plant that seed right there. That's the same thing television does. That's the same thing the movies do. That's the same thing the papers do. That's the thing the magazines do. That's the same. The devil knows that. Repetition. 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 All right, dear people. I'm going to repeat it again. When we look in the very beginning of the human race, we see God giving to perfect. Not perfect in the sense that God is perfect. Nobody can be that way. But God giving to perfect, unfallen, sinless man, the gift. Something that you don't pay for, you don't earn, it's called a gift. See? That's it. I think I told you the other day, somebody said they worked hard. Oh, yeah. Lady said she worked hard to get that gray hair in her head. And I told the cashier. I said, I didn't. Mine was given to me. That thing was just, it didn't cost me nothing. It just came. That's the same way with old age. It just comes. You don't see, it's a gift. Anything you don't have to work for is a gift. So here, as we look into the Bible, we see from the scriptures that God gave to perfect unfallen man the gift, the assignment, the obligation, the duty, the privilege, the opportunity, and the blessing of labor or work. God gave that. Who came up with this idea about work? God. It wasn't a good one, beg your pardon. It came from God, infinite intelligence, great God He is. It's all right, nothing wrong with that. Anytime you butt heads with God, there isn't any question about who's wrong. It's us, you. That's what the Scripture says. Now, dear people, you notice how I just wrote a whole list down here. The gift, the assignment, the obligation, the duty, the privilege, the opportunity, and the blessing of work. And if you don't think of work like that, that's just another sin that you ought to repent of and ask God's forgiveness for. Your mind is wrong. You see, we don't know how to think. We don't know how to think. I never forget the story I heard about the lady who had the big pile of dishes, you know. And she was sitting at the sink, and most of the time you used to hear ladies at the sink washing dishes and singing church songs. Now they don't do that. They're backslidden, most of them. A few of them will, but they don't. They might be trying to, at the standard sink, trying to do the hoochie coochie or something like that, or singing the wabba baba, trying to do rap and all that junk. But they don't stand there singing Amazing Grace. But I go back to the time Grandma would sing it, Mama would sing it. Don't hear much more. Now all you hear dishes rattling. Well, they have, most of them have dishwashers. Which I think they'd prove this, but it made perfectly good sense to wash your dishes and then put it in the dishwasher. Show you how stupid the human race is. You can sell them anything if you just advertise hard enough. But the lady was sitting at the sink with a big pile of dishes back whenever they used to wash them. And you know, she's had a big pile and she's singing. Somebody said, how can you sing and have all these dishes to wash? She said, I'm singing because I'm just looking at it and said, thank God I had the money to buy all this food and prepare it and eat it because the Lord blessed it and gave it to me. So I'm happy. Dishes wouldn't be dishes wouldn't be dirty if there hadn't been some food to put in them. That's a way to look at things and get a blessing out of it, isn't it? Right? What's the matter? Got so many dirty clothes to wash today, I don't know what to do with it. I'll tell you one thing, there's some countries where they don't have a washing that big. They don't have that many clothes. You know about that? Now, I'm not going to get off on this, but we know how many of these says, I got to get up today and I got to wash. Oh, my gracious. Yeah, you got to walk in there so many feet and throw it in that washing machine. It's terrible. Nobody. How cruel of God to start this thing called work. See? And here it is. Watch women. I watch people. Watch them as they struggle to go in there to that washing machine. Watch yourself, ladies. And then come back to that chair and fall in it and go, huh? It's a wonder God doesn't grab you up and tan your hide. But men are the same way, aren't they? About work. Men are the strangest thing, and women too. I know women work today too, and it's generous about them, but I'm going to share this a little bit, kind of divide it up a little bit. Men will pray for a job, and as soon as they get one and they get tired, they come home saying, boy, I'm telling you right now, I'm about to work myself to death. Pardon me? Didn't you ask for a job? That's like the fellow says, Lord, thank you for the food you gave us today. And as soon as he says amen, he says, boy, I'm getting sick and tired of these beans. He just thanked God for it. Huh? Isn't that right? You ever catch yourself doing that? I do. Then I say, oh, man alive, I tell you one thing. This is good, but it would be better if we had a little, and we think of something else. You see, that's what we're never satisfied. A great and wise God does not pay any attention to what we want every time. He gives us what He sees we need. All right. Now, an all-wise, a loving, and caring God gave us this gift of work. Not an enemy. But, you know, sometimes the way we act, you think we did. It was an enemy that gave us this. Who did this? I bet it was a devil. No, it wasn't. Wasn't at all. Work is never, according to the Word of God, not my word, to be viewed as punishment of and in itself. No, sir. Because work came from the hand of God. Now, the harsh conditions that are associated with work since the fall of man into sin, and that's man's fault, they make it hard. But remember this, work existed as a gift of God before the fall of man into sin and before the harsh conditions that we brought on ourselves as a race. We still bring some harsh conditions on us in work too. I'll just stop right here for a moment. I won't stay long. But you see, when you're a young person and you're the smartest you'll ever be in your life, when you're very young, 16 to 18, in that area, and your dad and your mom says, boy and girl, I tell you, you better study hard and get you a good job where you won't have to work so hard. You have to work for your living. Nothing wrong with that. But you won't have to be doing a lot of hard work out there. No. That one cuts corners. Halfway pays attention, gets half educated. Ends up, that's right, getting the hardest of hard jobs. I don't see anything wrong with working to get a job that's easier than another job. I don't see anything wrong with that. But you see, a lot of people are where they are today doing what they did because they were too smart to do anything better. You say, what do you mean? Well, like kids in high school. I don't see that. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. Not old people have got any sense. Not all old people are wise, but at least they know some things. And one of them they know is that a lot of the things you do when you're a young person make it hard on you the rest of your life. And a lot of the right things you do while you're still young will make the rest of your life easier. And I tell you that as an older man today. See? As an older man today. It's a lot harder to get a good education. We've got 3 or 4 children. 2 or 3. You've got to pay the babysitter. You got to run home and see about the baby when it's sick. I mean, just got a lot of stuff. It'd been so much easier to pay attention, not been so smart and so intelligent when you were young, when they got that education. See? So, later on, you have to pay the price. is a well-known song to everybody. I wish. I wish. I wish. I wish. I wish. You got a lot of people singing that with it. It's like a mighty chorus. And a lot of times, it could have been better. And didn't pay attention to God. There are consequences in life, folks. Consequences. Consequences. Now, dear people, when we talk about education, we talk about a wide field, and I've spoken to you on it before. So I'll not get out into that today. But the harsh conditions of work, they came as a result of sin of not paying attention to God. And work itself can be made harsher by our own continuing sin of rebellion and hard-headedness and pride. Having more confidence in ourselves than we do anybody else. That trips up a lot of young people, doesn't it? Young, unexperienced, green as a gourd, and so wise. Now, it wouldn't be so bad if when we kids, and I say we because I've been there, were so wise if our ignorance didn't affect somebody else after we got grown in life that was trying to tell us how it was going to end up if we didn't listen. If you have children, I'm going to tell you one thing. If you think that when they get grown, you won't be involved in their life anymore, you're wrong. My parents were involved in my life. My kids are involved in my life. And so and so and so and so. See? All right. Listen, dear people. Work was out without question in the beginning, without question, the perfect will of our Creator God. The perfect will. The perfect will. Now, notice that even though God planted that Garden of Eden, He gave man the duty of keeping it up. He gave him the duty of keeping it up. You see? Now, a fellow will pray for a car, but he won't take care of it when he gets it, and God blesses him with it. God will make a way for you to get the car. God ain't going to take care of it for you. Are you with me? See? That's it. God will give it to you, bless you, and make it possible for you to get it. Give you the health and the job and all that. But He's not going to assign an angel any more than He assigned an angel to take care of that garden that He gave to man. We have some responsibility when God blesses us with something. That's another lesson that's hard for young people to learn. Is that you can be your own worst enemy. Unless you got a daddy and mama plenty of money that you can always run to, and they'll be paying for your mistakes. But I got news for you, because I've seen this happen. One day they won't be around, and you'll learn how then. And that'd be very hard. I know folks today that you would have thought they could never have existed without their parents. Honey, they are doing it today and going right along. A lot of those. See? A lot of those. All right, but work. It has to be looked at in the right way. Work as a blessing from God. And the harsh conditions have to be a reminder, and should be a reminder, that it's man's sin that did this. We need to be right with God, which means we need to be saved. And we need to listen to God when He tells us about how work came into existence and how it came into being. As I said before, God could have said to the angels, "Now I put that man in that garden, and y'all take care of it." Well, that's the way now. That's the way people have children. And it's obvious that God intended for us, as part of their education, to teach them how to work. You see? To teach them how to work. And yet when parents get children, the children are too good, bless their little hearts, to require them to work. So mom and daddy end up doing the job. And the child learns real easy early that the way not to have to do it is just don't do it right. Mess up. I was washing dishes when I had to stand up in a chair at 6 years of age. My mother had a simple solution for teaching me how to get dishes clean. called rewash. Yeah, my mother didn't say to me, standing in that chair when she came and found it, I didn't get in between those tines and that fork all that stuff out, sister. She said, that's not clean. That's not clean. Look at this bowl here. That's crazy. Wash them over. She didn't say, and this is what some folks I know would have said today, you can't do it right, just get out of the way, I'll do it. And guess what? I got to where I could wash a dish as well as my mother. Because she didn't have time to do it for me. She didn't think that washing dishes was beneath my dignity as a boy, because she said, son, you might need to know this someday, and I have. She taught me how to make beds, not because she wanted me to be a girl or expected me to be feminine, but she said, son, you might have to do this someday. Your wife might be sick. So I learned to make beds. She taught me how to sweep a house. She said, son, you might have to do this someday. Went through all those things. In fact, my mother was a better teacher than my father was. She taught me how to do it right. If I didn't sweep right, she had me do it right. Went back. If I was making the wrong list, she said, here's the way you do it. Now here, a couple of lists, she handed it back to me. Got through, she said, that's pretty good, but you'll get better as you go along. Which said, you're going to be doing this enough, you'll get good at it. This is your job. I jumped up on the cow fence one time, looking at my mother making cow, and said, Mama, I won't do that. She said, okay, son. My mother was wise. She realized, she saw right then that I was in the condition to be taught. I wanted to do it. Now, she had plans for me to do that in the future, too, but, boy, that opened the door for her. So I started out, I wasn't good at all at it. I wasn't good at all. I couldn't quit. She saw that I wasn't completely ignorant. I could get a little milk, and with a little bit more training, I'd get a whole lot more. So she just stayed at it. See, it takes patience to learn. It's work to teach someone how to work, by the way. It's work. That's why a lot of people don't teach their children how to work, but it's too much work to teach them how to work. See, it is work. Sure, you can do it better, but they'll never learn. And so after a while, I got to where I'm doing pretty good, and then I got pretty good. After a while, I could beat my mama. After a while, I could do it with both hands and do it as well as my mother with either hand. And my mother was tickled to death because she had another occupation off of her hand, and I milked three cows, was nothing. And today, you say, how do you feel about it? Just thank God I had a mother that was willing to teach me how to work and require me to work and taught me to work. And I look back and I rejoice, because you know what? All of education in life is not about sitting at a desk in front of a formal school blackboard. Some of it is out in everyday life. I learned about animals, like a cow weighs a whole lot. Keep your foot out of there. She steps on it. You actually can move that cow. And believe you me, you will not sit there and stand there and holler for your mama or daddy if that cow is standing on your foot. You will learn how to do for yourself. You will throw a shoulder into her, grab her under the belly, and you will do everything but lift her up and twirl her around. Is that a good lesson? Very good lesson. Very good lesson. Very, very, very good lesson. Wonderful lesson. Work. I throw this in because some of you here yet got to have children. May the good Lord have mercy on them. But anyway, you got to have them. And if there's one thing the kids don't know how to do, they don't know how to work. And mom and daddy feel badly when they ask them to work. Don't feel bad. Listen, honey, and I'll put this in. This is a good point. Everybody in the family should contribute to the welfare of that family. What do you mean? You mean all of them go to work? No, sir. When I sat down to eat as a young boy, as soon as I got old enough to pick peas or help Mama gather okra or tomatoes, I was doing it. You remember talking about washing those dishes? When I sat down to eat, I had contributed something to the welfare of that family. I wasn't a bum. I wasn't eating on credit, folks. I had contributed to the welfare of my family. We don't understand that. I didn't have any money, but I had contributed. And as I got older, I contributed more. So that I could sit down to that table, and I was a contributor, and I had labored to help put that food on the table in my own way, contributed my part. I was not a parasite like a tick sucking blood A lazy child is nothing but a parasite. Oh, you say you'll hurt their esteem. Yeah, I know. Isn't that pitiful? Well, I just might as well do something to help somebody. Help you a lot. That's it. Man, I know a multimillionaire today. The standards that he had for his kids, I think, are very harsh. He does not think so. For instance, his prescription for a car for his child was, you just need something to go around town in. You don't need a new car. I'm not putting the money in a new car for you, your first car. You might end up banging it up, tearing it up. You just need enough car to get around here to do what you're going to do, and you're not going anywhere unless you're in the car with us, so we go on a long trip. You don't need a new car. So I'm not buying you one. And then the man's tight. Man said, they don't need it. They need to learn to buy what they need. See? I have a grandson who's going to college. And he suddenly ran out of funds. But you know what he's driving? When he bought the last time, he was convinced his mother that he needed a new car. She didn't buy it, but she know you give a dramatic signature. Now, a boy going to college needs a new car like you need another hole at least. I don't know how many you got there in your head. Doesn't make sense. But you see, that's the way we do it. Work. Work is good. But there is no question that it can never be the blessing that God intends it to be, sometimes because we parents get in the way. We actually get in the way. Some of the worst enemies that children have are parents. And parents do it thinking they love them. They don't. Work will not hurt anyone. I'm glad my folks didn't feel sorry for me. They'll say, well, these two little do anything, yeah. Well, I'll tell you right now what I believe. Looking back now, what I believe is when they get big enough to walk around, pick up a piece of paper in the yard, you'll be sure they're safe or run out in the street or road. But when they get big enough to pick up paper, put them out there with the older ones and let them pick up paper. Say, come pick this one up. They need that. They need to learn that. I tell you what, if they have to pick it up, when they make a mess with their toys, you have to put it back in the box. You'll have to quit. You'll be surprised at how soon you'll be rid of that one duty. They'll learn pretty soon. Okay, whose toys out here? Come get, put them in the box. See, Daddy said, come get these toys. Mama said, that's it, hot. Baby, Mama come in there and help you. That's sickening. Killing them with love. Work won't hurt them. I'll tell you what your kids will do. They'll look back on you and despise you. Let me tell you why they'll look back on you if you make them work. I'm one of them. I say, thank God I was born in a home where I had to work, learned how to work. Thank God I had work in a home. I was born in a home where I couldn't get everything I wanted. Because I had to learn in life, I couldn't have everything I wanted. And it was easier for me to adapt to that. I thank God. I didn't learn everything I should have in a home, but I thank God. And same thing is about work. Work is good. I thank God. Work. Yes, work. When I applied for my first job working for somebody, I already had a work history. They just weren't smart enough to look into it. But they were in the community. They noticed me. And then when I grew up, they'd get a quick idea about how sorry you were about how you worked as a kid. They said, I saw that old boy. You know what I saw him doing? I saw him sitting on the porch and his mama was mowing the yard. Give you an X. Show up at that guy's business wanting a job. First thing he thought about was what? You see? Work history. What work history? I used to be a personnel manager. Interested in the man, where he came from, what he was, did he work? I'll tell you right off, as a personnel manager, I didn't say everything I thought, but if I knew a young man there was applying for work and I knew his background and I know he's too sorry to work at his own parents and they had to take care of him and do everything for him and he wouldn't do anything, boy, I tell you, he had about as much chance to get the job with me. You say it like this, if I need you, I'll call you. That's a nice way of saying I wouldn't hold my breath. That's it. Work is important. I got to hurry along, but it's important. Why is it important, Brother Gordon? Look at the world we live in. I've never seen such sorry. And I don't know of any nice name to say. Youth. I drive around this town and they got signs up on these fast food places. Wanted workers. And I know the town I live in. It's not large. It's not that large. There's not that many workers in this town that they'd have to be added. I think they'd have so many applications that they'd never have to advertise. But then I get to looking into the situation and checking it out, and their complaint is that you can hire them, but they won't show up when it comes weekends. They want to go out and party. They'll come to work on drugs, and what they do, they'll have to, and if you turn your back, they'll steal your blind. Oh, my gracious alive. But they can always get food stamps. We won't get off on that. We would get on that subject. That would be very, very embarrassing, wouldn't it? Sure would. All right, listen. Let me hurry along here because I don't want to take all morning on this subject. In return for his labor in that garden, man was given the reward of being able to partake of the fruits of that garden. God said, you can eat everything in this garden that you see. Except one tree. Tree of knowledge, good and evil. You're going to keep it up. You're going to work it. You're going to labor it. Take care of it. You can enjoy its beauty. Take your walk and look at all those. You can sit under the shade or whatever. You can just pick, you know what I mean? You pick the flowers. Make your bouquet. You can enjoy the rewards and partake of the fruits of the garden. There's that principle there, partaking of the fruits of your labor. You see, the fallen man did not take God by surprise. He put that in the Bible because there's a principle there that says man has a right to partake of the fruits of his labor. Now, we could get off into that, but we'd get off into that, we'd have to get our government and its ungodly policies in it. Man has a right to take of the fruits of his labor. But if you're taking of the fruits of his labor to give it to somebody who won't labor, that's a sin, that's theft, and God's going to hold government responsible for that and hold us responsible for putting people in there that'll do that. Look, you know what God's principle is? Reward to them that will work. Let them get the reward, eat of the fruit of their labor. And Paul said, as a Christian to the church there, he said about the members of the church, let me tell you this, he said, if you got some there in the church that won't work, don't eat. That's the best way to get them straightened out. If you got some that just won't work on God's principle of work, if they won't work, don't pick up money for them. Don't build them a home. Don't buy them a car. Don't buy them shoes. Don't buy them clothes. If they just won't work, let them do without. That'll help cure them right away. That's so cruel. You're more loving than God. How? You are a special human being. God is love. Are you love? That's not love. That's the biggest disservice we can do, folks. God shows us. You know what God's poverty program is? W-O-R-K. Work. Or you hear somebody say, well, if you're not able. Usually a lot of folks saying that just means they lack the will. They're disabled in that they don't have any will. If you ever read the Bible, you know that God takes care of that too. God has a plan for that too. And the plan is not government. The plan is that people take care of those who can't work, who are right around there where they live, so they'll know that they can't work, and they really can't work, and they keep an eye on them if they ever catch them out doing things that they shouldn't be doing if they can't work. Actually, like I said, they were. Ain't nobody going to help them. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, I'll tell you back when I grew up, somebody said, well, I let them live in my house. They didn't have a place. They're out of a job. Didn't have a place to go with. And I felt sorry for them and their family. Now, they could live in my house. I'll tell you what they did. They tore up everything I had in it. A fellow like that doesn't need anybody to give him a house. You say, well, what in the world about their children? Let me tell you something right now. I'm going to just tell you the hard facts. Sometimes you can step in and help the child, but sometimes you can't. Sometimes the child has to learn the bitter truth about how life is. And God, the teacher, sometimes leaves them teaching those lessons if they are difficult. See? Are they hard? Yes, they're hard. A baby would never walk if its parents carried it everywhere it went. If his parents said, "My child cannot walk and bump its head. I don't want my child to get a knot on its head. So I'll carry it." That child, if you carry that to the extreme and it never gets to walk, that child will not learn how to walk. That child's legs will atrophy. It has to. It has to walk. It has to fall. It has to. Well, let's move on quickly. So today, people, especially Christians, should not view labor or work as a curse from the devil, according to this scripture, but a blessing from God. And they should remember that the harshness of work is a result of man's own sin. Sin always pays off badly, folks. Momentarily it may look good, but there's always the bad side. Sweet in the mouth and bitter in the belly. And don't forget that since God commanded man to work, it is also an act of obedience to our God to do so. Laziness, therefore, is a sin. When you can't work and you can't work and you don't work, it's a sin. Incapacitation to work is not a sin, but having the capacity to work and not working is a sin. And may I say to you that God has no retirement age in the Bible. That was man's ideal. Now, you say, "Well, you're against retirement?" No. Retire. If you're going to retire working for another man, come home, plant your garden. You got more time to work for the Lord. When somebody asks you to do something, you say, "I can't, I got work." Well, when you retire, you ought to have time to do it then. Oh, we're getting down to it, aren't we? We're getting with it, aren't we? Well, let's move on. Let's move on. Incapacitation is not, you see. And incapacitation is not having to quit doing one job and do another because you no longer, because of something wrong with you, do the job that you were doing. You just switch over and do another one. You find another one. See? Our old people out there today, and I'm old first, I can talk about this. Let me tell you what. They haven't stopped. Some of them are 80 years old. I can say this because I'm an old man. But I went to a place one time and a woman was checking out this. She's almost so old that you had to wake her up between the items that she ran through over the cash, over the counter that was flashing, taking a sign. You know what she's doing? No, she's working. She's working. But you know, employers are funny. When you're young and don't have sense enough to pour water out of a boot and it says turn the direction and say turn it upside down, they want you. When you get old and you've been through it and you got a lot of experience and you know what you've learned in life, you got to work and all, they get to where they don't want you. That's something wrong with that. Something wrong with that. Church is the same way. Start off with a young preacher, he's green as a gourd. When you get up there to where you've got a lot of wisdom and experience behind you, they want a young one. Why? They won't start all over again with a big mess. See? What is this, a mixed up world? Yeah. That's why God doesn't have any. You look for what the Bible says, you get along better. Okay? All right, let's move along quickly here. Coming down to the end, so just hold on. Now, since work is an act of obedience, you got that? An obedience to God. Not just to your wife. God will therefore figure in the rewards for the Christian at the judgment seat of Christ based upon how faithful we've been in our work down here. Not just as a Sunday school teacher, but in our work, period. That's what the book says. That's what the book says. You see? That's it. That's what God says. Colossians 2:22-24. Listen to this verse of Scripture. How many of you looking at it like you might not think I'm saying it right? Listen to this. Colossians 2:22-24. Servants, this is what it's talking about. Obey in all things your master according to the flesh, the man you're working for. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Don't Christian servants. And whatsoever you do, that covers a big territory. That'll hit everybody, every job, won't it? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Means get with it. Put your heart into it. Don't do it half-heartedly. You've seen some of that, haven't you? You've probably done a little bit of that half-hearted stuff, haven't you? All of us have. That's a sin, you know. God said do it heartily. As to the Lord, do it like you're working for me. Now I'm standing there watching you. He is, you know. And not unto men. Look past the men. He's talking to the Christian. Look past your boss. And look at me. Because you're not only working for that company, you're not only working for that man, but you're working for me because you're mine. And your whole life is mine. And what he said, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. He said, when you're out there and you're shoveling a ditch, shovel it right to the best of your ability, knowing that you're not only doing that for the man you're working for, but you're doing that for me, so do it and do it heartily and do it right. Because I'll reward you for it according to the job you do. Think of that. I've seen people. You've seen people. Who run hide. Christians. Christians who are slack on the job. Yeah, but the Lord's watching all that. So the boss didn't know. Yeah, but the real one, the big one did. They did. They did. See? Labor or work is of the Lord, and it's a blessing from God, and it's a duty. And I'm going to tell you, you may not know this, but the Bible says that even in the new earth, there's going to be some work for God's people to do. Blessed work. I don't know all the particular kinds. There'll be work. We're called servants of God. Before man fell into sin, God had work for him to do. In the new earth, there'll be work for man to do. But it'll be of a kind that will be without the harshness here among the people of God. See, we not only get an earthly payday, we get a heavenly payday. See? We get a heavenly payday. See, that's what we're talking about. Work is, labor is of the Lord. I'm going to have to close. A lot of things I could say, but I think I've got my point over this morning. But you see, here's what's going to happen to some of us.